5. Amen. I want to bring you this. Let's go back quick, real quick, and look back at the past, what we looked at so far. We started this journey when we went into the 7 churches of Revelation, and we talked about the different churches, what was going on. As we said, we can find the same thing happening in the church today around. The first church was the church of Ephesus, and what did he say about the first church? They left their first love. Amen. Notice that God started with that about love. Because without love, forget the rest. Amen. Matter of fact, the Bible says if you have not love, you're like a clanging cymbal. In other words, all your noise means nothing. All your proclamation of I love God means nothing. Got quiet all of a sudden. You keep saying I love God, and Jesus said, if you love me, why don't you do what I tell you to do? Amen? Simple, isn't it? Now we looked in, how do I know I love God? We looked at a few things there. But the first thing I said is loving is a progressive work of the Spirit of God in us and the Word of God. We said the first thing you do, if you're not loving God the way God instructs us to love Him, not the way you think you should do it, not what you think is God. Many of the Christians today have built images of God and said, this is the God who saved me. And if they looked in the mirror, they'd find themselves looking back at them. Because they built it in their own image. Well, God didn't do that, so I wouldn't do that. Or I wouldn't do that, God wouldn't do that. Don't do that. Unless you worship self. If you worship self, you might as well build it out of gold and silver and precious stones and whatever else you want to build it out of. Because that won't give you peace. No matter how much money you got. Look at the people who are rich right now in the world. You see them with peace? No. They're constantly in turmoil, and always what they do and the turmoil that's in them is always reflected by their works outside of them. So they're bringing turmoil throughout the whole world. That's what riches will do for you. Okay, I'll get off that subject quick. But we looked at it, we said, until you first love God the way He instructs us, you'll never learn to love the brethren the way you need to. Because it all comes out of God in the first place. Because who could love the person next to you except God loved them first? You could say, I love you, and then turn away and keep on going. And their needs never met. But you have the way to meet their need, and you don't do it. How can you say you love them? Jesus came, He said, they have a need. What was their need? They need a sacrifice for their sins so they could have a relationship with my Heavenly Father. So He said, I love them enough to give that sacrifice. And when you love God, you will sacrifice. You will sacrifice to Him, and you'll become a living sacrifice, but you will also sacrifice to one another. And you'll meet their needs. You'll find out exactly what's going on in their life. So you can pray for them. We're getting into that another time here. We're getting to that soon. And what I'm trying to do is end up this section about loving God, because I could be here for the rest of the year and then some. I'll never get to the end of this thing. There's no way I could possibly get to the end of it. But, so once we love God, we learn to love one another through the love that we have in God and from God, then if you get to love the brethren, it's easy to love the world. Your neighbors, in other words, your co-workers, the ones who treat you lousy, the ones who aren't saved, you get to love them. And you'll become a living sacrifice for them because you go tell them the truth about the gospel of Jesus Christ. But if you haven't loved God first, you never get to love the brethren the way you should. And you certainly aren't going to go tell anybody about Jesus. Because that is a sacrifice. Especially when it's family and friends and neighbors. And they don't want to listen. Nobody told them that your responsibility is to get them to listen. Your responsibility is to love them enough to tell them the truth. Yeah, but then they don't want to be around me. They didn't want to be around Jesus. Now you're in good company. It's just you and Jesus. Praise God. Enough for that. And then he said to us at the end, if you can love God the way you should, love one another the way you should, love your neighbors as I instruct you to do, he said, then you'll be able to love your enemies. If you love your enemies, he said, you'll be just like me. You want to be like Jesus? The first thing he did was love you when you were his enemy. Until you came to Christ and accepted his sacrifice, you were an enemy of his. Well, I didn't think I was an enemy. I didn't do anything. You ever swear using his name in vain? Oh, not me. Yeah, well, praise God. God bless you. You're the only one I know. We were enemies of him before we came to him. And it was with his blood that he cleansed us of all that mess and brought us into his loving. Come on. Amen. So we got to that place, and now, and we've been stuck on, if stuck is the word we want to use, on loving God. And how do I know I love God? And what it takes, and I bought a few of these out. If you love him, you're committed to him. Amen. Can you imagine saying, I love my wife, but I'm not committed to her? I will go with whoever I want. So what we say is, I love my wife, but I'll go with anybody. I love God, but I'm still going to be friends with that world out there. I'm still going to love the world. He called you adulterer, by the way, in that. Says you're an adulterer. You can't love God and love mammon or the world. You can't. We can't. Well, what I'm trying to get to is this. The scriptures tell us, and I got something God was giving me during worship. He speaks a lot to me during that time. And I was going through this. This he had given me, this part here that I've got typed out. Been giving it to me because I have something else, but I wanted to go get out of the love of God and how I know into loving one another, because I think that's crucial in this day and hour, because you can see it throughout the whole world. There is no love for one another, even in the churches. Love doesn't mean you accept sin. Love means you expose sin with the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. We can't just say, well, we're going to ignore that stuff. We've got to bring the truth out, and the truth is what sets them free. But he said this, he said, committed. Then we said, you love to be in his presence. I love it this morning. The presence of God was wonderful in here, as far as I was concerned. Let me put it this way. I was in his presence. Amen. I hope some others were. Amen. Yes. But if you weren't, you may want to figure out why. Because it's fun. Let me just say that. Being in his presence is fun. It really is. He starts showing you things. I'm going to share something with you in a minute. It just blew me away. I never thought of it, never saw it in a million years about my life and part of it. And he says, and he showed me some, well, anyways, I'll give it to you in a minute here. But you know what else? If you love him, you want to have conversations with him. You want to be in communication with him. Amen. The Bible says pray without ceasing in Thessalonians, right? What, if God is telling us to pray without ceasing, that means he's talking to us without ceasing. Amen. All is a matter of listening. What did he say in the first seven churches? He said, those who have an ear, let them hear what the Spirit is saying. He's not talking about this ear. He's talking about the ear of the Spirit. You do know your spirit man, generically speaking. Because remember, woman is a womb that came out of man. Okay? That's what it's all about. God created man. And then he took out of the side of the man and created the woman. Amen? That just means they are one. In God's eyes, there's no distinction between a woman and a man. Man made the distinction. God didn't. As far as he was concerned, he just created two men. One was this way and one was that way. Why? So they could procreate and have little ones. And what did he say? We were supposed to fill the whole earth with those little wonderful things. Amen? No, I'm serious now. Understand that. So when you come to God, you're not coming to God as an inferior. In God's eyes, you're equal. We have turned it around. When, you know, people, I'm getting off subject here, way off. When what happened was, they started saying, well, a woman must submit to their husband. Yeah, but it isn't submitting like a slave to a master. It isn't. It's submitting to one another in love. Doing it as God instructs us to do. The woman has her part to play. The man has his part to play. And together they make a whole where the holy God of all creation can influence and change their lives. You understand? It's about unity and one accord. It has nothing to do with it. If God called me to be a pastor and didn't call you to be a pastor, don't try to be a pastor. If God created you a man, don't try to be a woman. And don't try to make your man into a woman. You make him as God created him to be. Create him to be a man. He's got his responsibilities. He's got his place to play in God's kingdom. You're a woman. You got your place to play in God's kingdom. And if you learn that, you submit to one another in love, man, there's power in that house. You can destroy the work of every enemy that comes in. But when you listen to the world and the way they put it together, you're open to every evil, wicked thing. I don't know where that came from, but praise God that was free. And cost you nothing. So in 2 Corinthians 13:5, well, look, okay. There's so much more to loving God. I can't even begin to tell you. There's joy, there's peace, there's power, there's authority, there's all kinds of things. You start acting and thinking and talking differently. You're up on a higher plane. You're way up here. Yeah, I mean, it's just, when I said what I believe God told me, he said about time, I really believe it. If you need more time, just speak it. How can you do that? Because it's the God in you. Amen. Praise God. Do you know, I got to get back on my subject here. Do you know when God created man, before he created man, he created the earth in the fullness thereof. The trees, the animals, all this stuff, right? What was he doing? Creating work for the man? No. He was creating the blessing for him, for them, so that when they came to this earth, everything they needed for a good and godly life was already there. Whew. Now, do you think he gave him a hoe down here so they could hoe the garden? No. He gave them a mouth with the word spoken. And they spoke those things and they happened. Every animal that walked by, he gave a name to. How did he do that? By writing it down? No. Oh, that's a giraffe. That's an elephant. That's a cat. That's a mouse. That's a bird. That's a bluebird. That's a robin. That's it. How did God create the universe? The heavens? But he spoke it. How are we supposed to live? You have the power of life and death in your tongue. Amen. You have the power to create for you your life. Listen to this. All right. So what's he saying to us? In 2 Corinthians 13:5, let's see it, find it here. He said this, examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Examine yourselves. Test yourselves. Examine yourself. Test yourselves. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you are disqualified? But I trust that you will know that we are not disqualified. So what's he saying? That's what the word is for. That's what this Bible was given to us, and we're blessed. I mean, before service, Mark came up to me and he showed me a man that he's in contact with over the internet. And this young man is living in Gambia in Africa. You didn't think I was listening, did you? Amen. He doesn't have a Bible. He doesn't know the Lord, but he's a Muslim and he wants to know Jesus. And so Mark's been working with him. send them a Bible. You can't send them a Bible because they come into a Muslim country, they destroy them before they get to them. But they can't stop the word. They can't stop the word. Do you know the devil can't stop the word? It will go forth what God intended it for. Someone who is seeking him, God will find a way to get to him. When you realize the power of the word of God in you, space can't stop it. People can't stop it. The devil can't stop it. The power that's released when you release the word of God from you. But examine yourself. Test yourself. Am I in the faith? Remember now. Remember, faith worketh by what?
Hearing.
Nah, faith cometh by hearing. But faith worketh by love. Love. So if you're not working and walking in love with God, faith ain't going to work in you. That's why people say things and nothing happens. Where does the power come from? God. God is what? Love. So you want to see it? Examine yourself. Look at your life. What did God say in Galatians 6 and 7? He said what? God shall not be mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, so shall he reap. Sow to the flesh, you reap death and destruction. Sow to the spirit, you reap life. So how do we know whether we're walking in love, whether we examine ourselves? We can see it because of the results of our life.
Amen.
Our lives are a direct reflection of our love walk with God. Simple, isn't it? This isn't hard. It's simple. Here's what God showed me. And I'm probably jumping ahead, but I can't keep it out. Yeah, I got to get it in there. So, and you probably won't receive it, or maybe hopefully you'll receive it, but you may not get it like I got it because my life was involved in it. And so, when God gives you a revelation about your life, you see it; others may not. You know, and so that doesn't make it less than truth. It doesn't make it less in power. It just means that's for me. I understand it. So a long time ago, before I came to the Lord, even I was living in West Virginia, and I had a sports car. I used to drive MGBs. I loved them. I still loved them. At that time I probably did love them. That was my love then. But now I still like them, and I still wouldn't mind having one. But it's not important to me. While I was there, I joined the Sports Car Club of America. And the Sports Car Club of America had, you know, all these guys had big ones. My thing was that I was in preparation to go to North Carolina to go to a school to learn how to drive, not because I wanted to race cars. I wanted to race sports cars. So that was my goal, and I was heading in that direction. But meanwhile, while I was still in the process of all this going on, they had what they call rallies. Anybody know what a rally is? I say, hey, praise God, you guys know. So what it was is that you had in my car, happened to be an MG, and you'd go at a starting point, and you were set out, each car was sent out individually, okay? Well, in the car was the driver, me, and then you had a co-pilot next to you, and the co-pilot had a stopwatch. And they were given a set of directions. And they would say, if you go down here 1.6 miles and take a left and go up there 3.4 miles and take a right. Well, every time you come to those left and rights, more than likely there was about three of them right together. So if you were off by a tenth of a mile, you'd turn. And you'd make the wrong turn, you'd go up there, realize you made the wrong turn, turn around, come back, and all that time you're losing time. Because this thing is about time. The ones who write on the time, you can't be there. Oh, by the way, they also told you how fast to go. If you went too fast, you got there too early, you got deducted points. If you got there late, you got deducted points. The object was to get there exactly in the time it took on their paper to go from point A to point B, from point B to point C to point D, and so on. And so you can imagine, if you don't have a good co-pilot, or if you've got a heavy foot or a light foot, you could mess up and, you know, you're way out of it. Well, at the time, I had a great co-pilot. But as we were worshiping, God started showing me that. Now, that's been 40 years ago, 50, maybe 40. No, 45 years ago, maybe. Something like that. That's a long time ago. And all of a sudden, he's bringing this to me, saying. And he said, Dave, do you remember when you were in those rallies? I said, yes, Lord, I remember that. And he said, do you know that if you allow the Holy Spirit to be your co-pilot, he'll tell you when to go, when to stop, how fast to go, how slow to go. He'll tell you when to make the right turn, when to make the left turn, make it at the exact time. This is what he said to me. And he said, what happens is, Dave, if you will do it that way, he said, I've already prepared the blessing ahead of you. So you'll drive right into it. Do you understand? He'll know when you need gas. What's gas? The Holy Spirit. He said, I know when you're getting tired. I know when you're getting weak, but I'll give you. I'll make sure there's a gas tank right there. Fill you up at the right moment, at the right time. He said, I know when you need to eat. Remember, we're talking about spiritual things here, not natural. He said, I'll feed you. Because the Holy Spirit will bring the word to you at the right moment, at the right time, exactly as you need it. I'll tell you when to turn. He said, I know there's times when you keep going, you just keep on trying to go the same way. But he said, I don't always do the same things the same way. There's times when he calls you to turn. He said, I'll tell you exactly when to turn. You won't make the wrong turn. You won't make the wrong mistake. I said, look what God can do. But he said, examine yourself to make sure. Because if you won't trust me to be your co-pilot, I can't tell you what to do, when to do it, and how to do it. If you want to be in control. Now here, let me back up a little bit. Last Wednesday, we've been blessed. We've been talking about the Word of God and the power of the Word in our lives. And how it operates and functions. And God spoke to me last Wednesday on worship. And he said, David, do you want to be in control of your life? And I thought about it. And I told the congregation then that I said, yeah. Everybody goes, at first they all go, no. I said, yes. I want to be in control. You understand? Whether you believe it or not, God isn't going to take the wheel and steer your life the way he wants you to go. He will have the co-pilot next to you instructing you, but you don't have to listen. You keep going the way you want. He said, I've given you the power of life and death in your tongue. You have control. Now you can do it in control with the Holy Spirit, or you can do it with your flesh. That's the choice to make. But in reality, Jesus went to the cross, and he went there because he decided to go there, not because someone forced him to go there. God didn't even push him there. Jesus said, not my will, but your will be done. Now, who do you think is in control there, Jesus or God? Jesus. He was in control. Well, he had the Holy Spirit. Duh. Don't we have the Holy Spirit? Don't we have the same choice of life and death? Don't we have the same choice on the direction we go? How close we are? Whatever we listen to, if we listen or don't listen, we've got those choices to make. Don't blame God like the world does. Oh, that was an act of God when the hurricanes come. Oh, that was an act of God when the fires come. No. It was the act of man in rebellion to the loving God that wants to bring life, not death. Amen. And it's the same for us. We can say it one way we want, whatever way we want. Oh, I love God. Really? When God speaks, do you listen? Because Jesus said, if you love me, you'll do all I command you to do. Why are we doing this? Because there's a storm coming. And you need to stand strong. You got to know your God. You got to know if you speak, it will come to pass. If you're hungry, you can just call out from God, and God will send you manna from heaven if necessary. Whatever it takes. God will protect you and your properties and your loved ones. God is just looking for people who stand and believe God. But it all boils out of love. So we need to examine ourselves. Make sure you're in the faith. Test yourself. What does it mean to test yourself? What's it mean? God, I'm going to step out in faith and believe you for this. Knowing it's the will of God. Knowing it's the will of God. You're going to have to test yourself. Well, what if it isn't? That's what the test is all about. But know this, God is more than capable of keeping you and comforting you and protecting you and providing for you and deliver you out of that stuff if you made the mistake. Amen? He isn't going to leave you there. God looks into your heart and sees if you are a willing participant with him in this journey of life, God will never leave you nor forsake you. But when you're going your own way, doing your own thing without even consulting him, without even examining your life to see if you're in the faith, without testing this thing, then God's going to say, I'll let you go. And he does. How do we know that? Look at the nation of Israel. We've seen it over and over and over again. Every choice you make, my friends, every word that you speak, every work that you do is written in books in heaven. When you stand before the Master, you will give an account of your life. Every word you've spoken, every deed you've done in life will be thrown into a fire. And your rewards come out of it depending upon whether those works were by love or by selfishness. Amen. And again, I encourage you, know what God said love is. Don't let your thoughts, your things all wrap around. Oh, this is love. Oh, yeah, I love God. I know I love God. I know. Examine it. Look in the scriptures. Look in Corinthians 13. Look and see what God says love is. Look what he talks about when he said, you will do all I command you to do. He didn't say what you want to do. What I command you to do. Amen? We having fun yet? Listen what John 8:47. Wednesday night we had a wonderful. I'm going to back up a little bit on that. I'll come to it in a second. Wednesday nights, like I said, we're dealing with the Word of God because, see, outside of this, there is no life. I'm telling you, we can go and do our own thing and everything we want to do, and at the moment it looks like it's all working out, so God must be pleased with it. Not necessarily true. Satan came and tempted Jesus with the whole world. Right? So if he can tempt Jesus with the whole world, how much does it take to tempt you away from the Word of God? I don't know about you, but it doesn't take a whole lot for me. That's why I've got to make sure that I'm doing what God told me to do according to his Word, not according to what I feel or think or want. So we're looking at the importance of the Word of God, okay? And then on Thursday night, we had a men's group, which was great. Dan brought forth Romans 8. In Romans 8, he was talking about the carnal mind and the spiritual mind. To be carnally minded, the Bible says, is what? Death. To be spiritually minded is life. Amen? And we were talking about what's the difference between carnal mind and spiritual minded, and we came to the conclusion. A spiritual minded person is one who whatever is going on acknowledges God as being part of it. The Bible says acknowledge him in all his ways. So God isn't saying to you, you've got to be on your knees 24 hours a day, 7 days a week praying. He's saying, just when you're going about your daily business, make sure that I'm involved in every aspect of it. If you're not sure where to go or what to do or how to do it, pray and ask for wisdom. When you see something and you see a beautiful bird or a beautiful flower or something, acknowledge it was God's creation. Thank you, Father, for giving me this to enjoy. When you're spiritually minded, you connect everything into the spiritual realm. When you're carnally minded, everything becomes about you in this world. And all of a sudden, you don't see the beauty. You see the ugliness, or you see the wants, you see the needs, you see the desires. But you don't see God in any of it because you have created your image of God in yourself. It was awesome. We sat there. There was only four of us there, but you know what? Every time we come together and speak about Jesus and speak about the Word of God and speak about God, do you know that's written down in a book also in heaven? Mm-hmm. In Malachi, it's called the Book of Remembrance. He said God notices everybody who's talking about him. And he writes it down in a book. Mm-hmm. So our question ourselves is, how much do we talk about God? How much time do we spend acknowledging him in our daily lives? Let's compare it to this. How much do we say me or my? Or mine? Or I? In our daily lives, compared to how much we talk about God in our daily lives. I test you. Test yourself and write down every day how much times you say that or how many times you acknowledge God. It's not to beat you up. When I gave that first scripture coming out here, when I talked about Ephesians 4, it's Ephesians 4:11, he's given some pastors, some teachers, some evangelists, some prophets, some apostles for the building of the church to prepare people for the work of the ministry and to edify, which means to build up. Actually, what it really comes into in the Greek is to build a building, a mansion. And that's what we're trying to do, is build a mansion. A mansion, depending on the house. Now, if it's just you living in it, it doesn't have to be a big one. Right? You know, a little old shack sometimes, you know, we don't need anything major. But if it's you and God, how big does it have to be? Amen? So, and remember what he said, I don't live in a house built with hands. But we're not talking about that type of house. We're talking about a spiritual house because God is spirit. So if you're building your house to have you and God in it, how big does it have to be? God doesn't live in a shack, my friends. When you get to heaven, he's already building you a house, a mansion, the Bible says. A mansion. Shouldn't we build a mansion down here for him? Hallelujah. To live in? Yeah. Yeah, but he's God. You have God in you. You have God with you. He's given you everything necessary to build a beautiful mansion. He said edify means I build you up to be a mansion for you and the Spirit of God. There may come a time when you won't have a church building to go to or a worship team to worship with. And I don't mean just here. I'm talking about throughout the land. It might come a time when they'll outlaw Christianity in America. Well, that'll never happen. Don't bet on it. If the other one had gotten in an office, they were right on the way quickly. Do you remember what was said? We have to fundamentally change. You remember that? We have to fundamentally change religion in the minds of the people here in America. That's what was said from the podium in the last election. In the last election. Do you understand? And to say, well, and I truly believe with all my heart, he's in there because of God And I'm not saying that he is the answer. I believe he has given us an opportunity, the church, to wake up. Amen? I believe it's that chance we've got. How long that's going to be, I don't know. But I believe it's the time we've got, and we've got to take it right now as much as we can. Amen? So we're going to get ourselves to a place where we're spiritually minded, that our heart is filled with the love of God, and our works prove it out. Amen? Now, some of us may already be there. Some of you. I don't say us. I can't include myself always. I like what Paul said one time. He said, follow me as I follow Christ. He didn't say follow me all the time. Because Paul also messed up. Read his writings in Romans 8, 6, 7, and 8. Those things I do want to do, I don't seem to do. And the things I don't want to do, I seem to do. Remember that? Paul is saying there's times when I messed up. But he said, if you confess your sins, you're faithful and just to forgive you. So we praise God, we repent quickly and get on the way. Amen? So as we follow Christ, and let me say this also. I'm almost done. There's so much more I can say. Boy, am I early today. Which one did I give you? Oh, I apologize for that. John. Yes, I did. All right. John 8. Listen to this. When we looked at this Wednesday night, it kind of, little shock. John 8:47 says, he who is of God hears God's word. Amen? Therefore, you do not hear because you are not of God. I didn't say that, he did. Want me to read that again? What was going on? Jesus, the religious people of the day were upbraiding Jesus, going after him because he was doing the works that he was doing and speaking the words he was speaking. And they were getting a little offended because they didn't like what was coming out of his mouth. And so they started attacking him. And he said, if you knew who it was, he said, my words are life. Look at what he says again. Whoever is of God hears the words of God. The reason why. Now how would you like to be a religious leader and somebody saying that to you? How many of you would be offended right now if I walked up and said that to you? I think we'd all be offended, wouldn't we? Hey, wait a minute. Who are you to judge me?
Exactly.
Oh. I got an answer for that too. In John 12:48 says this, the one who rejects me and does not receive my words has a judge. The word that I have spoken will judge him on the last day. So you say, who are you to judge me? I don't. It's the word who's judging you. When we stand before the master, we're not going to stand there with all kinds of excuses. You won't. Because you know what he's going to do? He's going to open this up. I really believe it. He's not going to just say it to you. He's going to show it to you. He said it was always there. Did you not have one of these? Well, yes, Lord, but I was too busy. Well, yes, Lord, but you know, I didn't really think you meant it. Well, yes, Lord, but I didn't understand it. Well, yes, Lord, but. Now, you know, this really is for all those who hear this over the internet, because everybody in here is in a good place, the right place where you want to be. Amen? Amen. Praise God. But the Word and the Spirit working together in your life will build a mansion for the presence of the Lord. And when the storms come, just like I said, what is it, the cement that holds it all together? The cement is the love. Unless the love is activated in your action, unless the love is activated and your actions reveal that love, there is no love. We can't say I love you and not show that love. If God said to you, I love you, and he didn't go to the cross, then what good is the love? Faith without works is what? What's the works? Love? How do I know that? Because the Bible says, faith without works is dead. Faith worketh by love. Right? Faith works by love. Faith without works, what are the works? Love. Amen? So we can say we have faith and not have love. Not true. We can say we have love without faith. Not true. They work hand in hand together. So we examine ourselves and look if we are of the faith, or we examine ourselves and see if we're in love. And then it says test ourselves. So how do we test ourselves if we're in love? Get around somebody who aggravates you. Really? The Bible says pray for those who what? Despitefully use you. Bless those who curse you. So go up and somebody who bugs you, go up to them and say, you know what? I love you. I want to pray for you because Jesus loves you. And because Jesus loves you, I'm going to love you too. Get away from me. I don't want to hear that stuff. Okay. You just tested yourself because if you walk away angry, you're not doing that out of love. But if you walk away, say, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. You're walking in love. Oh, glory. Amen. So let's look at ourselves. It's not just about going to God. Now, and let me clarify something. You don't have to hang around them if they don't want to be around you. Don't force yourself into their company. Don't go sit there, well, I got to sit around them. Because no, you don't. If the Holy Spirit sends you there, remember, you went there as a test. You weren't sent there by the Holy Spirit. You go where the Holy Spirit sends you. If the Holy Spirit sent you there, go there. You know, if they were sending, you know, if they were sending us to Afghanistan or Syria or a place like that where you know that you could possibly die because of your faith in Christ, I wouldn't go unless the Holy Spirit was sure of sending me. Ain't going. Nah. Amen. The Bible says I'm not going to throw my pearls before swine. Not going. But if God sends me, got to go. Amen? Why? Because I love God. And I do those things. Jesus said, the Father has not left me alone, for I always do those things that please him. Whew. Jesus said that. Did Jesus have the Spirit of God in him? Yes. Say yes. Did he have the Spirit of God with him? Yes. But yet he said, I know the Father is with me because I only do those things that please him. So we have to distinguish that which pleases the Father and that which pleases us. I do only those things that please me. Or I only do those things that please the Father. One, you know he's with you always. The other, you're not sure. Getting quiet in here. But we are people of faith. We are people of love. We are people filled with the Spirit of God and the Word of God. We are spiritually minded people, not carnally minded people. We don't sow to the flesh all the time. We sow to the Spirit. We are the children of the living God. And we love him with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our strength. He is our first love. Amen? He's our first love. Keep him there. Don't let anything take it off the throne of your heart and put something else up there. Amen? Bow our heads. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this time. And I pray, Father, that the word that was spoken was your word, not mine. I pray, Father, let it be a two-edged sword going in, separating between the soul and the spirit, bringing life to those who seek you with all their heart, with all their soul, with all their strength. And Father, we believe we love you, but if we're not loving you the way we should, if we haven't put you first in our lives, help us, Lord, for we are weak, but you are strong. It's only by grace through faith in Christ that we are able to love you. It's not ours, Father, but your will being done here. Thank you, Lord God. Oh, yes, Lord. Father, I pray for all of us here. I pray that we can taste of the goodness of our God. That as we enter into this love relationship, as you call it, a love feast, that, Lord, that we can feast on your love and then turn it around and bring it back to you to say thank you, Father. That we experience what it truly means to be loved and to love. We know, Lord, there's more to this than what we've got now, what we've experienced. There's a greater love. When we come into your presence in the fullness of time, there will be a greater love. But even today, Father, we pray here right now in agreement. We ask for your love to be poured afresh into our hearts, a fresh infilling of your love, so that we may walk in the power of your might, in your love, in your grace, in your mercy. That we may give, Father, freely as we have received your love, your grace, and your mercy. Help us, Father. We pray this in Jesus' name. And all God's children said, amen and amen. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Okay, we have communion. If you could get prepared to receive, and we'll take up the offering at the same time. Hallelujah. Amen. Keep our brothers and sisters in prayer. Mike and Carlotta and Virginia and Ken and Mo are all going on vacation. And keep them in prayer that they got a safe journey on the road, a quick and easy journey they enjoy, and God will reveal himself to them as they travel. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Come on up, guys. Join us. Look at this. It's an all-woman thing. But notice, we have woman and man all together. Amen. I love it. Look at this. Beautiful people. Hey, who's going to get mine now? Oh, man. Father, we thank you, Lord. Oh, Lord. We pray for an anointing on this time, on this moment. That the revelation of that love that Jesus gave through his sacrifice to you and to us would be revealed in the hearts of each and every one who partake of this morning. We thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Come on up, guys, if you need. Praise God. Hallelujah. God is good. Amen. Father, we thank you, Lord, today, and we give you praise and glory. We thank you for your provision. You have provided us everything that is wonderful and glorious. And Father, we acknowledge and ask your forgiveness if we have fallen off into a place of the flesh, more of a carnal mindedness, or we just forgot about our first love and we got so busy with this things and living down here on this earth that we forgot that you are the one who gave us life and gave it to us abundantly. So we restore you now, Lord Jesus, into our heart, on the throne of our heart, where we declare we love you. And we will, Father, to the best of our ability, to do everything you instruct us to do. We thank you, Jesus. You didn't leave us nor forsake us. You keep showing us the truth. Help us to live the truth, Father, and not the lie. On the night that Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread and he gave thanks and he blessed it. And he said, take, eat. This is my body which is broken for you. Each and every time you partake of this, do it in remembrance of me. Remember my love for you. Remember my love for my Father in heaven, so that his will may be done in your life as it is in mine. Receive it this morning. In Jesus' name. On the same night, after dinner, as he sat with his disciples, he took the cup and he said, this is the cup of the new covenant, the shedding of my blood for the remission of sin. Lord, we thank you that we're able to come into your presence. We're able to come to you, Lord, because we have been washed of all unrighteousness through the shed blood of Jesus Christ our Lord. And we declare that we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. We are a new creation, created in your image, Lord. Have your way here. We thank you again. Receive it in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Could you just be seated for 1 minute and we'll...
Good morning. We have a few announcements. There'll be no Christmas choir this Tuesday or next Tuesday because it's Halloween and Election Day. Also on November 7th, which is a Thursday, this Thursday coming up, it's going to be the updates of what's going on around the world. So come out and see that. And also on Friday, November 3rd, is going to be the healing rooms from 7 to 9. There's going to be a Sunday school meeting on November 5th, and we have some birthdays. On November 4th is Deanna Fowler's birthday and Malachi Spickerman's birthday, so wish them both a happy birthday. And on November 17th, there's going to be another movie night, and it's the Redemption of Henry Myers. And for anyone in the choir, if you have your CD and you haven't checked it yet, please check it, because some of them didn't have all the songs on them, so you need to get a CD so that you can practice the songs, okay? Thank you.
Okay, sorry. This announcement is to all the moms, dads, grandmas, aunts, uncles, whoever brings little people to the Sunday school. Next Sunday, the first Sunday of each month, we're going to start a new leg to our Sunday school program, and they're going to be learning the names of God and how to use their Bible. And that's why I'm actually asked to make this announcement. Could all of our adults make sure that the little ones have their Bible, if they have Bibles, to bring their Bibles? We do have some here, but I want the children to get used to actually finding Scripture in the Bible and seeing where it is, how to find it, what it says, because they are going to be using their Bibles. It's for the first Sunday of each month.
Amen. Hallelujah. Yeah, some. Well, praise God. The only thing, the Bible app is great, but if you lose power, then what? You know, you want to be able to go through that written word that you can keep always. Even if you use your tablet, you want to be able to use the book. Amen? All right, let's close. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this time. We pray, Father, for a safe journey on the road for our brothers and sisters in Christ that are going on vacation. We pray, Father, that you reveal yourself in the midst of their time of rejoicing and peace and comfort and relaxation. And Father, we pray for each and every one of us here, Lord God, and ask your grace to be with us this week. Lord, that we remember that it's you that matter. Because when you matter in us, everyone else matters to us. Help us, Lord, to walk in the power of your love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. God bless you.